You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast. I am Danny Lurie, your host, and so happy to bring you your team every day. The Warriors start out the season with a surprising loss to the San Antonio Spurs. The building was shocked, as they should be, considering what happened, and it was a dominant San Antonio performance, but still plenty of positives to look at from Golden State's perspective. So I had Adam Lauritsen of the San Jose Mercury News' Fast Break blog on, and we had a nice conversation about it, and I also spliced in some audio from the postgame from both Coach Kerr and Kevin Durant, so I hope you like that as well. Conversation runs about 25 minutes. Thanks so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
Certainly different than expected. I mean, there are a lot of different kind of avenues to go with this game, and I was wondering from your vantage point, what's the biggest takeaway from game one?
Just surprise all around. I was in the stands as a fan tonight, not in any sort of media seat. And everybody was just sort of in disbelief because there kept on being these pushes where you felt like the Warriors were finally going to get over the hump and put something together. And the Spurs just kept blowing it up and kept frustrating them. And the Warriors seemed as stunned as anyone. So whether we chalk it up to sort of early season jitters, a learning experience, or some deeper fundamental issues they have to work on, the Warriors did not play the way I think they as a team expected to play tonight.
Yeah, there were moments in this game that felt a lot like when you see a good team come together early on, so they kind of have flashes of, oh, this is what they're going to be, but they don't do that. But what makes this different are two things. One, the Warriors have had immense success in the recent past. So it's not like, let's say, when Miami came together where, you know, they were coming in from a different place. And two, their other two games at Oracle were against the Clippers and Blazers. The Clippers one we talked about on Locked On Warriors, and the Blazers one was dominant in its own way. And so you kind of calibrated like, oh, they already had these, you know, they already had these adjustments. They already had these little stumbles. Those are done. And then, boom, they faced the Spurs.
Yeah, I think the Spurs pose particular matchup problems for them. You and I have talked about the difficulty they have with athletic big men in the past. And while Leonard isn't technically a big man, he just plays so large, particularly when he's slashing through the paint, and they had no answer for him tonight. Aldridge also had a really nice game, both outside and around the basket and on the glass. So these are matchups that I think are going to be issues for the Warriors long term. I think you're totally right. There were just some growing pains on display tonight. A lot of the passing issues, a lot of the focus issues, that just comes with experience playing together. But Popovich clearly had a game plan for how to attack this Warriors team, and I think he exploited it very well. And there's a lot that the Warriors can learn from this loss.
Yeah, there are a lot of things that they can learn from it. And one quote that Kerr had that I thought was good was talking about how they can't be a mistake-prone team. And one of the easiest ways for the Warriors to lose is if they help, you know, if they help the other team out by committing turnovers and silly fouls and things like that. And the fouls weren't really a problem in this game, but turnovers certainly were. And another big potential area, and this is more something that could be just a structural concern, was on the offensive glass. And I actually asked Steve Kerr about that. There were a few times, I think, especially in the first couple quarters, where the Spurs only had one guy on the offensive glass, but he ended up with the rebound over, let's say, three guys. Is that something that'll correct with time, or are there some real adjustments that need to be made there?
Well, we're going to have to be a box-out team. We can't, you know, we can't just expect our guys to go grab a board. We have to hit bodies. We've got to be, you know, we're a smaller team than we were last year. So we've got to hit bodies, and everybody's got to box out, and we've got to play with more physicality, more energy.
So I think his answer makes a lot of sense, is that there are different things that they have to do. But what it was asking about specifically were those plays that were striking, where the Warriors really had a couple of guys back and the Spurs only had one. Often it was LaMarcus, and the one Spur got the rebound.
Yeah, I think there are more the Warriors can do to help with the rebounding. And we saw this some last season where they would have games where they would struggle to rebound, and then Curry and Thompson in particular would have to refocus on really hitting the glass. You look at those two players, and not to single them out for blame because the entire team could have done a better job, but Thompson had one rebound, Curry had three rebounds. For them, that's below their typical averages and just really not acceptable. So I think that Zaza is going to have to do a better job, too. He had three rebounds in 20 minutes, which for your center is pretty pathetic. But the entire team is going to have to focus on how do we simultaneously play the up and down game we want, get guys leaking out for early offense, but also make sure that we're back home covering the glass. There were times where they were just beaten by a more aggressive Spurs rebounder, a bigger Spurs rebounder, but I think there's more they can do in gang rebounding to stop those situations.
Yeah, and as Kerr said, putting a body on guys. You know, if it's 3-on-1, you should be able to, with one or two guys, just your goal is to make sure that the Spur doesn't get the rebound. You don't care about getting it yourself. And it's a fundamental that gets lost on certain guys. And one thing that was really striking that I didn't know until I looked at the box score was that the Warriors bench only had 4 defensive rebounds in total. And that's not survivable, especially when the Spurs... So the Warriors had 4 defensive rebounds on their bench. The Spurs had Dwayne Dedmon, who had 4 offensive rebounds by himself. And David Lee had 3. So that kind of gets into it, too. I think the starters had some problems, but it was more those combination or backup-heavy lineups that were some of the bigger culprits.
Yeah, and when you look at the potential options on the bench... West is who he is. We kind of know what we're going to get there. He's going to be a good rebounder against some slower, less athletic teams, but against an aggressive Spurs team or somebody like Dedmon who has some spring to him, that's going to be a tough matchup. Looney's really the guy that I'm intrigued by. Rebounding is sort of his elite skill if he has one. He only got garbage time minutes tonight, but if this continues to be an issue for the Warriors, I think you're going to see Kerr try to bleed him into the rotation a bit, get him some opportunities with more of the starters and more of the regular rotation players to see if he can be an answer there on glass.
Yeah, and I framed this earlier in the preseason on the idea that outside of the Warriors' top 6, so meaning the 4, and then Livingston and Iguodala, they only need about 40 playoff minutes from everyone else. And what Coach Kerr hopefully is open to is the idea that less of those go to Pachulia and West than were probably anticipated if they don't really live up to it. And the Warriors have to hope that those guys, whether it be going smaller with McCaw and Clark or trying out some of the other bigs, JaVale, Looney, to try to make that work. But it is a smaller problem in the scope of things when they really scale up the minutes and go more to the Draymond at center lineups.
Yeah, it's going to be an experimentation period because there are so many different matchups, like you mentioned, and different rotations that he can use to try to answer this. Again, I think that some of this is probably just growing pains. It's almost like there was a Bogut hangover tonight where there were those rebounds that Bogut was just so automatic in getting that the rest of the team didn't have to worry about them. And Zaza's not that player. And Green and Durant aren't those types of rebounders. So they're going to have to adjust for the fact that rebounds that they took for granted in the past when Andrew Bogut was in the game are going to be more contested and they need to do more to get them. But at the same time, Zaza may not be the type of player who the Warriors need to focus on against an opponent like the Spurs. And Kerr may need to go deeper in his rotation and be more creative to find an answer for this, because clearly he didn't have it tonight.
Last season, we got to learn a lot more about what it's like for the Warriors to have kind of an offensive drag at center. You know, somebody who, like Festus at his worst, where, you know, you don't want the ball in his hands. And that was something that they had to deal with. Bogut had some moments, especially when they were in the bonus, where you couldn't play him. But they never spent too much time with a smaller defensive positive or even a negative at center. That just wasn't something they did. And that is going to be a very real part of the experiment this year. And one of the big takeaways for me with this game that can change with time and, you know, different opponents is that drivers didn't fear Zaza Pachulia in this game. And what's concerning and should be concerning for Warriors fans is that that aligns with what happened in the preseason.
Yeah, Tony Parker looked 5 years younger tonight for exactly that reason. He was able to get deeper in the lane than he ever did against the Warriors in previous years, the last 2 years. And that's a concern because when opponents are able to penetrate on the Warriors, it scrambles their defense. And that's part of the reason I think you were seeing so many second chance points and opportunities is because the Warriors aren't used to having somebody get that deep and that good a look at the basket. So even if they don't make the initial layup, it puts them out of position for the follow-up attempts. It's a big concern, and I don't know if there's a clear answer. McGee seems like he has the skill set, but Kerr clearly doesn't trust him with the starters to make decisions, and he's a negative in other parts of the game while he may be a positive on rim protection. So it's really something they have to figure out, whether you're playing your guys closer on the perimeter to deny penetration, whether there's some way that you could switch to deal with it. They clearly were just letting guys deeper into the paint tonight than they previously have in the last two seasons.
Yeah, it is, and they do have a lot of centers on their roster, and so they will try those internally. And a challenge for the front office, if the options they have don't really work, is being willing to try other people, you know, cut bait on somebody, whoever that would be, and do it if they have to, because it's not, you know, the central thesis of why this Warriors team is good, but the rest of the league is so competitive that you can't afford to have a real weak point in that sort of a way, even if you are moving away from those kind of lineups in the playoffs, just because you never know when injuries are going to strike, and you want to make sure that you have, that you can put together at least two or three five-man lineups that are, you know, elite, because you're eventually you're going to have to face probably two of the three best teams in the league outside of your own team.
And I can guarantee you that there are 28 other teams tonight that are taking this videotape and splicing it for their team, because any team that has a penetrating guard that plays the Warriors is now going to say, I can attack the basket, I can get deeper, I can make things happen. Maybe I get Curry in foul trouble, maybe I get Thompson in foul trouble, or maybe they don't even touch me and I get all the way to the rim. So it's going to be a repeated concern for the Warriors that they have to have an answer for. Just to jump back to your point about cutting bait, not to beat a horse that's already dead among Warriors fans, but Varejao was just a disaster tonight. He didn't play super meaningful minutes. The Warriors were down by 20 in the fourth quarter when he was in. But Kerr's desire to give him minutes above any sort of developmental work for Looney, for anyone else on the roster, is just a head-scratcher for me. We didn't see anything tonight. We haven't seen anything for a long time, so I don't know what they're hoping to get out of that situation.
Yeah, especially considering the game was out of hand. You know, like, for me, those moments are about getting Looney and McCaw and Jones, when he's healthy, reps. You know, like, that's one of the most important things. You can see what you have in them, and throwing those minutes to Varejao is functionally throwing them away. And you can do that, you know, garbage time, if you want to call it that, is not generally a high utility thing, but the Warriors happen to have players at those spots that could use it.
Yeah, and Kerr was playing some of the starters deep into the fourth quarter. He sort of let them sit in this mess for a while that they had created. So particularly if you have some starters, some rotation players, and it seems like a perfect opportunity to try to introduce younger players into the flow. I thought he actually did a pretty nice job with McCaw tonight doing that. McCaw didn't have a super productive run, but at least he got to be out there with some of the starters and kind of get up to speed with the game. I'd really love to see Looney have that opportunity as well.
And McCaw did have his hands kind of in creating steals or kind of deflections and sort of things. That is a good part of his game. The offense is still a work in progress in terms of playing with the starters, but he can get there, and that's another one of those, you know, experimentation things over the course of the season.
Yeah, big picture, I think that Warriors fans, we keep on talking about experimentation, and that's really the mindset that I think everybody should have for these early games and through much of the season. There's no doubt that this is a great collection of talent. I stand by all the predictions that I made about how great they would be. This game doesn't change any of that. But there are a lot of new pieces here, both in the starting lineup, two of five the starters are new, and also in the rotation in general. So there's going to be a period where Kerr has to sort of figure out what he has and the best way to use it. And we saw the first example of that tonight.
Just going to take a quick second for a word from one of our sponsors. Yeah, something that struck me in this game, like really thinking about it, not as much, you know, like on the drive home, was if you were to say from your vantage point, who do you think had on the Warriors? There are a couple Spurs we can talk about. Who on the Warriors would you say had a good game? Like there were certainly guys that weren't bad, but who really like stood out in a positive way overall?
The only person I'd put in that category is Curry. Durant had a good line, but I think that there were certain issues we can talk about that are detractions in Durant's game. What I love from Curry is that he did have those moments that we were missing last year in the finals, where he was able to penetrate, he was able to get to the basket, get separation from guys. He had a couple of times where it looked like he was ready to go off on a run, and then Pop just killed it. I mean, no one deploys the Curry run-killing timeouts the way that Popovich does. And he did a great job at it tonight. But even given that, I think that Curry had a nice all-around game. My issue with Durant is just there were spots where the Warriors really had some offensive lulls and disorganization. And I don't think Durant is integrated enough with the rest of the team yet to sort of sense where he needs to step up and be more of a factor. He's getting a sense of it. We saw it at times, but there were some moments where Durant was on the floor and I didn't notice him tonight, and where the Warriors really could have used him being more assertive, I think.
Especially when Klay struggled for most of the game. You know, he had it was a parallel to a degree of the game against Portland where he just couldn't hit a shot early, even though they were clean looks. And that happens. You know, it's not some sort of thing like, oh, his shot is broken or anything like that. It's just that, you know, guys don't make every shot they take. And Klay, you know, has been an aberration in that kind of a lane before, but he's going to have those kind of nights. And with Durant, what I agree with you on all of that. What was encouraging is something that will become maybe part of the team later on, which is that his background being a capable isolation scorer, and of course he's a great post-up guy, that's a little bit different, but as an isolation guy, it can be a really nice kind of get out of jail free card for a bad possession. You know, you give him the ball with 4 seconds left and he can just do something because he's Kevin Durant, but you don't want to overuse that and you don't want to use it as a crutch. And that's something that Oklahoma City did to their own detriment, was that you don't want to say, oh, well, we have that in the last 4 seconds, so we don't need to do anything in the first 20. But if you use it as a fail safe, it can work well.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I think we saw a little bit of that in the first half where Durant had it going and had some nice plays, but I think the Warriors got away from some of their ball movement, sort of standing around watching Durant doing individually incredible things. The best runs that I saw from Durant were later in the game when it was already sort of out of reach, but where he was slashing through the lane, where he was penetrating, where he was coming off action to catch the ball, to get a good look. That's really, I think, how the Warriors should view Durant as a primary weapon. And like you said, use his isolation skills and his post skills really as an escape valve when they're in trouble and they really need something.
He also had a few nice moments defensively. He had, I think, 2 blocks in a short span, and they were the only two he was credited with in the whole game. And I don't expect to see those dominant, like what we saw in the series against the Spurs last year. I don't expect to see that very much during the regular season, just because it's awfully hard to ask it. But he will have those moments just because he's so long, and when he cares and is aggressive on that end, he can do it. And so it was nice to see a few of those flashes in game one, even though it'll probably be a while until that becomes a staple.
Yeah, I agree that we saw some nice defensive looks from him. And I don't think we should bash the defense of either Green and Durant too much in this game, just because Aldridge and Leonard looked fantastic. I don't know if I've ever seen Leonard play a better game, definitely not in person. He was just unstoppable offensively for a big stretch and had an answer every single time the Warriors looked like they were going to make a run. Aldridge also hit some incredibly difficult shots against good defense. He was active around the basket in a way that we haven't seen in past games where the Warriors have found a way to contain him. So really nice combination from the Spurs. They have to be thrilled with the performance. And it kind of balances a matchup that the Warriors had kind of cracked, I thought, last year. Parker looked more effective. Gasol didn't do much, but he gives them a nice other offensive option out there. And some of the younger guys that Popovich is now working into his rotation had really nice games. Simmons was highly effective, really efficient scoring, and helped keep the Spurs ahead even when the game bogged down a bit in the second half.
Yeah, I mean, Kawhi, there are a series of ridiculous things, but the most impressive is just that he made more free throws than the Warriors. He was 15 of 15 from the line, the Warriors were 13 of 18. And that was not like they were calling ticky-tack stuff, that was Kawhi earning those.
Absolutely. They were not bailing him out. He was going into the teeth of the Warriors' defense, and he was either going to score or they were going to foul him. So he earned every one of those trips to the line, and it was a great game plan, really exploiting a Warriors defense that didn't look as cohesive as it did last season or the years before.
I was very impressed, not only with Jonathan Simmons, who was spectacular in this game. It was the best I've seen him play in an NBA game, period. And I've been a fan of him since 2015 Summer League when he was just great. But Patty Mills did a nice job, too. And I've had this inkling for a while that he's going to surpass Tony Parker in the very near future. And, you know, they played pretty similar minutes tonight. Mills played, I think, about 18. Parker played about 26. And Parker looked better than I expected a little bit, so give him full credit for that. But the idea that they are able to withstand a point guard in decline because they already have somebody else is just the most Spurs thing possible.
Yeah, this was a very Spurs night where guys who you've either written off have great performances, or guys you've never heard of show up and have dominant games. It seems to be the Spurs recipe for decades now. But Mills, the thing that stood out for me, defensively on Curry, he was really physical and did a nice job. Curry still hit some incredibly difficult shots, but Mills was having an impact on the entire Warriors offense just with how disruptive he was defensively and his ability to kind of throw his body around and put them in spots where they were uncomfortable.
Yeah, that's a great point. One other thing I wanted to talk about as we go through, because it was I was intrigued by it in his post-game press conference, was that Kevin Durant was asked about the team defense, and he brought up a point about their first shot defense that I thought was notable. I mean, I'd have to go back and look at it, but here's what he said. There were a few times, I think, especially in the first couple quarters, where the Spurs only had one guy on the offensive glass, but he ended up with the rebound over, let's say, three guys. Is that something that'll correct with time, or are there some real adjustments that need to be made there?
Well, we're going to have to be a box-out team. We can't, you know, we can't just expect our guys to go grab a board. We have to hit bodies. We've got to be, you know, we're a smaller team than we were last year. So we've got to hit bodies, and everybody's got to box out, and we've got to play with more physicality, more energy.
So really, yeah, I mean, I understand what he's getting at, because the Warriors were a lot more susceptible on those second chance opportunities, just like every other team is. And if you're going to give up 21 offensive rebounds, then how you defend second chances really does matter.
Yeah, the second chance frustrations, some of them were fundamentals where you need to have better position, you need to hustle a little bit more. But there were so many turnovers, it seemed like, that resulted in almost second chance opportunities, things where they struggled to get the ball out after a rebound.
Or they just threw it into the front court and the guy wasn't even there. Like, there were,
right.
I think it was Draymond had a couple where he just kind of tossed the ball, like, you know, like kind of like what they do. And the difference is not only was the Warrior not there, but a Spurs guy was just standing there. There was one, I think, that went to Simmons, and there was no Warrior nearby.
Right. So I would include second chance points sort of larger than the statistical category and just include those mistakes, which they have to fix. And some of those are probably growing pains, but some of those, I think, are also a hangover of the sort of feeling of invincibility that last season generated. Draymond is making plays where he's going for the home run and he really just needs to get a single or get on base. They were having repeated problems in the first half and a couple of catastrophic runs to end the first quarter, for example, that were really the difference in the game. You take away a few minutes here, a few minutes there, where the Warriors had a ton of mistakes, and this was a very close game.
Also, one other kind of positive for the Warriors is that they missed a fair amount of shots that they usually make. And that not only hurts your offense just because, you know, that changes just your overall efficiency, but also it generally creates better shots for the opponent going the other way. And so Durant brought up a couple of missed layups early. There were some threes that they usually make. And so, you know, some of that is that the Warriors were a historically great offense last year, and so maybe some of that won't continue. But I would expect it to, considering the talent involved.
Yeah, I think that's right. The first quarter, there was an energy in the building that I think had the team a little bit overhyped. They were feeling a little tight, I think, given the way that they missed some of those early shots. I don't know what was going on with Clay shooting, but I think he was one for eight to start, maybe. That's not a typical Warriors first quarter. They're not going to look like that on many nights, so hopefully they can correct those issues.
Anything else that you think listeners should take away from this game?
I'm honestly excited. One, because I think it's good for the Warriors to have some adversity early. It also busts any sort of streaks that they were hoping to get. And they now have a 3-game losing streak at home, which is kind of shocking. But there's not going to be any temptation to run for a perfect home record or anything. But two, the reason I think this is exciting is the Spurs are now set up to be a true rival for this team. I think we saw a lot tonight that the Warriors don't have immediate answers for. And through the matchups in the regular season, and I would think potentially in the playoffs or likely in the playoffs, this is going to be a really interesting matchup for us to watch. So as basketball fans in general, not just as Warriors fans, tonight was exciting because it's really going to, I think, bring out the best in this Warriors team as they try to figure out how to answer a really crafty, a really talented Spurs team.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. And it also is exacerbated by the fact that the Warriors don't play the Spurs again until March. I think it's March 11th is the next game. And so if this team is motivated the way that I think they are, that this will kind of fester with them and it'll bother them, especially if the Spurs have a good year, that being like, oh, we laid an egg in the first game and we should have beaten them. And so that can fuel them during some of the downtime because the NBA season is just so long.
Yeah, I had forgotten about the crazy schedule where they don't play the Spurs again until the spring. But you look at the way that losses festered last season and the way that the team would come out more focused and more disciplined after them. I think we're going to see that again coming out of this game. I think it's going to be a good teachable moment for Kerr. He's going to have their attention. There are many, many things they can improve. So this was a very good wake-up call to start the season. It's not going to be given to the Warriors. They're going to have to go out there and take it from their opponents.
Well said, and thanks so much for coming on.
Always a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Thanks again to Adam for taking the time to come on. You can read the Fast Break blog at the San Jose Mercury News, and you can follow him at GSW Fast Break. That's GSW FASTBREAK. And yeah, there was a lot to take away from this game. The Spurs played phenomenally overall. Kawhi was great. Jonathan Simmons was great. And their bench just overall outplayed the Warriors bench. And, you know, that's something that's going to happen. And I think Adam and I hit on a lot of the kind of big notes in terms of potentially the Warriors' defensive rebounding, their defense overall, but this is a supremely talented team and it will take a little bit of time for them to figure it out. And going on a little bit of a road trip right after this could be a nice test and to see how they respond to it, because a hallmark of the Steve Kerr Warriors so far has been reacting strongly two losses. And I mean, I guess you could have an exception to that in the finals, but that's a little bit of a different thing. And so they play Friday against New Orleans, and that will be a game that we can learn something from it. And that ties in because my tentative plan right now is, since that's a Friday game, is that I will not put out a new episode. This is Wednesday's episode. I will not put one out on Thursday, maybe, and I will put that one out Friday. I'm gonna figure out an ecosystem for it. Maybe I won't put one out Friday morning, and will put one out on Saturday after that game is over. I'm still figuring that out exactly. So you will definitely get five episodes. It's just figuring out when they will be. So that is something that is just a part of this process with Locked On Warriors, is piecing together how it's going to work when you have an unusual schedule like the Warriors do this week. So if you have any feedback, good, bad, indifferent, you can reach out to me at Danny LaRue on Twitter, DannyLeroux. Also, DannyLaRueNBA@gmail.com. You can follow the show, Locked On Dubs on Twitter, Locked On Warriors on Facebook, LockedOnWarriors@gmail.com if you want to send feedback that way. Also, you can read, I am in the process of writing two pieces for The Athletic, which at this moment will be my standard after it. One is kind of player-by-player analysis. The other is more my big-picture stuff. And those should both be out by tomorrow morning. Ideally have one earlier and one a little bit later, because I like to sleep on it and write my analysis piece the next day so I can really piece together what happened. Also, Nate Duncan and I are going to talk about this game for Dunked On, as well as the other two games of the day, so you should definitely check that out if you are interested. And if you like this show, if you like any other show, whether it be a basketball podcast, a whatever podcast, it's great to download every episode, subscribe, leave a rating, leave a review, because then that can let other people know. And also making direct referrals, you know, telling people you know, telling people on whatever social media things. Those are greatly appreciated, especially with a show like this, which is pretty new. So anything you do helps, and I really do appreciate it. And if you like this, then you can also check out some of the older episodes that fit the bill if you're a newcomer, and I welcome you with open arms. So thank you so much for listening. Take care and make it a great day.